Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello and welcome to another Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio. I'm Callum Stoneman. Tech Talk is our weekly look at the world of technology, funnily enough, from a blind and partially sighted perspective. And as we always say, it's your show, so you're more than welcome to get in touch with us. techtalk@rnib.org.uk is our email address. You can send a written email or you can record a voice message as well and attach that to your message. All contributions welcome. That's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Coming up this week, our very own Dave Williams has been at the annual CSUN Assistive Technology Conference in California. So he'll be bringing us some reports from there. He's been catching up with manufacturers and developers of assistive technology from all across the globe. He also ran into one of the world's biggest recording artists while he was there, but more on that in a bit. With me this week, usual co-host, Hubert Pavalkovic. How's it going? Did you not get an invite to CSUN?
No, you see, I've been trying to look everywhere. I can't find my tickets. It's a Caesar. Have you seen my tickets? Have you seen my CSUN ticket? No?
No. I haven't seen them. I've not even got a guide dog to blame it on, so I don't know what's going on. Don't know where mine
are. We're going next year. I'm sure they meant to invite us this year. They just, you know.
Just a mistake, yeah. Just a misunderstanding somewhere, I'm sure. It's always an exciting week. CSUN will be, as I said, we'll have a lot more from CSUN in a bit. But anything else going on with you this week? Anything else caught your attention?
Well, I've spotted this just before we started recording. So often we've mentioned AppleVis on the show as a community where people discuss everything from technology to anything else and sometimes get even heated. Well, AppleVis is changing, everybody, because it's not only Apple tech that's now going to be discussed. They also have specific forums for Android, Windows, assistive technology hardware and smart home tech.
Yes, I was going to get into this. Yeah, this is really interesting. So as you said, AppleVis has been it's been going for a long time as well. Is it 2010 it was founded? Mm. Said in that blog post where they announced it. So a long time. And as the name implies, it's primarily been, well, it has been a forum for Apple products. And they've got loads of good stuff in there. They've got, you know, the forum, they do podcasts, community members can submit guides, you know, user guides. And they've got a blog team, they've got an app directory as well, so you can go on there and check whether an app is accessible or not, if it's in the directory. But yeah, they've kind of branched out a little bit. I think they've made it clear, haven't they, that the things like the podcasts and guides and app directories and stuff are still going to stay with Apple.
Yeah, that's still staying as Apple, purely Apple content. And there is a separate section for non-AppleVis forum posts. There's a section lower down the website where you actually have posts that are from the other forums. So it is still separate in a way, but I just find it so interesting. I really like this development personally. I mean, I don't know if the name AppleVis will still work, but I really like that addition.
Yeah, I do as well. It's been a bit controversial, but no, I'm
sure it has.
But I do like it. I mean, it's because there's been talk for a while of doing a kind of Windows Viz, if you like, you know, an Apple Viz, but for Windows. And there is accessible Android forum as well. But I mean, and to be honest, I never ended up doing it, which is why I didn't talk much about it. But I considered setting up a kind of Windows Viz kind of thing when there was talk about it going on. Funnily enough, on AppleVis, people were saying, you know, would you be interested? And I was kind of willing to help out and set it up, but it was just a case of not having the time. But one of the things that AppleVis has behind it is that huge, like, community. You know, it's been around for a long time. There's loads of people on there. Every time you go on there, there's always new posts and new activity and going on, and most of them have quite a lot of comments and a lot of people on there willing to help each other out. So, and the problem you would have with creating a whole new site is you're essentially starting again, you know, building all that back up. Whereas bringing it to AppleVis, I think it just opens up, you know, that way of getting tech support for non-Apple stuff. So yeah, I like it, mate.
Tech support and also just in general, people's opinions. I've certainly provided a lot of content for AppleVis. I've added a lot of apps to the directory myself. I've also commented and helped people out. I've also asked for help. So it's a huge community, and adding this additional layer will really help to expand that technology loving community. I look forward to it. I'm sure some people will be already kicking off in the comments going, this was Apple, this is not fair. But I really like it. I don't know. Yeah, you can kick off at me too, but I quite like it.
Yeah, well, if you're a fan of Apple Viz, or if you've used it, or even if you're, you know, if you've not necessarily got Apple products, but you're going to start using it now they've got these few new forums, let us know. Let us know what you think. You can drop us an email, as I said before, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. It's been an exciting time for CSUN, so let's get into that. Stick with us. This is Tech Talk.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio from the CSUN conference, and I'm with RNIB's project manager in our innovation team, Dawn Slater. Welcome into Connect Radio, Dawn. You've got a number of reasons to be at CSUN this year, but it's actually your very first CSUN. We'll talk about that in a second. But yesterday afternoon, you were delivering a presentation. Just share with listeners what we were presenting.
It's a really exciting project, and the innovation team are leading the Getting Around Impact area, and one of the flagship projects for that is called Travel Well with Tech. It's a project we're running with Motability grant funding, and it's kind of a two-phase project, but the really exciting thing is we're not looking at what people can't do, we're looking at what people can do. So we're really looking at what tech works for travellers who go out exploring and doing unfamiliar journeys, and seeing if we can actually expand that and scale that in order to help people who are maybe not so confident with travelling or using tech.
Right, because we hear about lots and lots of different technologies that are available to support us with independent travel as blind or partially sighted people. And I suppose we need more information about what really works and what perhaps needs to improve.
Yeah, what we're finding is there's some great apps out there, but not everybody is using every part of every app. They tend to find little nuggets, so they might use a 5% of a Google Maps or 10% of something else. So it's really identifying those nuggets, but also identifying the workarounds, because I don't know if you realise, sometimes tech fails. And if tech doesn't fail, transport might fail. So we're also looking at those workarounds for when we do get those failures. And in addition to looking at the physical journey and how you're going to plan and make that trip, we're also looking at the emotional journey, which is quite a new thing for us to do.
And on that, you know, that transition between apps, when you're juggling multiple apps and getting bits of information from different places, different voices, sometimes you have to keep pulling your phone out of your pocket and all of that, that can create quite a cognitive load, leading to quite a stressful journey.
Absolutely. And again, you know, if you do happen to want a cup of coffee whilst you're waiting for your train, that's going to add another pair of hands to carry that as well.
Can you share anything about the sort of the roadmap for this project then? When can people start hearing about your findings?
The roadmap is essentially, we did an initial part of research was called Inclusive Journeys in 2022. This is the second part of that. So this is the agile testing sandbox phase, if you like. So we're running that up until the end of August. We've got three cohorts going through some various public transport journeys for us. And then from the 1st of September, we have a second phase of funding, which is called Exploring Solutions. So that's when the fun will really start.
Okay. Is there a way listeners can keep across that?
I'll come and keep talking to you, Dave. I'll come and keep telling you about it if you want me to.
I would love you to. Fantastic. So we will make a date for you to come on to Tech Talk and keep us updated with the Travel Well with Tech project. Dawn, I also want to talk to you about your experience, you know, just your sort of personal journey coming to CSUN for the first time. What's that been like?
It's been pretty amazing. So everybody says it's huge, there's so many people, and it is huge and there are so many people. It's really busy, it's a really diverse crowd, which is really great to see. Lots of different age ranges, lots of different sight loss conditions, and also obviously comorbidities and other PAN disability here as well. It's a really friendly place, everybody's talking to everybody, and yeah, it's really exciting. I've been so busy getting my presentation ready, I haven't even been around the exhibit hall yet. So we're sat here, Dave, looking at the exhibit hall, and there's so many things to go and have a look at. I just need to sneak off and go and have a look around and start playing with some stuff.
As well as the exhibit hall, CSUN has presentations running throughout the day. We've talked about yours. Have you managed to get to any of the others?
We went to a couple of the iOS ones. Those ones are always full up with no room for anyone to kind of squeeze in. So they've been really popular. And just looking at things like Magnifier, some of the personal voice stuff. So there's some quite new and exciting kit coming from Apple, which is great. And then some of the others, we're tending to look at the wayfinding, anything that's going to fit in with our Travel Well with Tech projects and help feed into that and provide some additional insight. That's the ones we're interested in this time.
Well, when you get a chance to go around the exhibit hall, I'd be very interested to hear your reactions. Dawn Slater, project manager with RNIB's innovation team. Thanks for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Dave. Pleasure.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio from the CSUN 2024 conference. I'm with Logan Anstey, who is with TPGI, which is kind of part of, I guess, Vespero as well, or a sort of sister organization.
So Vespero owns TPGI, so we're all one.
We're all friends here.
Exactly. Right.
But the reason we are here is that RNIB are announcing this week that we will be distributing JAWS for kiosks in the UK to make those experiences when you go to buy something in a supermarket or a restaurant and you're confronted with a machine that you cannot use. That is not acceptable. And we're going to have a demonstration now, I think, from Logan. You're going to talk us through what you have just in front of us.
Yeah, I'll definitely talk us through it, especially because we're talking radio at the moment. So JAWS for kiosk. So JAWS is a super popular screen reader that Vespero makes. We've taken the JAWS screen reader and we've dumbed it down so it can be on any kiosk that is Android or Windows based. So they don't have to code or do any engineering to get this screen reader on their specific kiosk. All in layman's terms, we just make your kiosks talk. So what someone can do is they can walk up to a kiosk and there's a device where it has an up, down, left, right, and an enter button in the middle called a storm device. Somebody can come up, plug their headphones into that device and use a kiosk by tabbing through, so using the left and right button, to get through that kiosk and actually order. So it's making all of these kiosks accessible and usable for anybody. And it could be somebody who is blind or low vision, but it could also be somebody who just maybe wants to hear it, wants to hear the flow. So
this isn't going to change the visual experience, is it? So if somebody is sighted, is it just about speech output, or are we changing the visual experience at all?
We're not changing the visual experience whatsoever. Okay. And somebody who isn't going to be using the screen reader software wouldn't even necessarily know that it's on there.
Right.
So the screen reader mode turns on when somebody comes up and plugs in their headphone jack.
And just before we do the demo, there's such a wide range of applications here, isn't there? I mean, it could be a vending machine, it could be a self-service in a supermarket or some other kind of shop, it could be a restaurant, a doctor's surgery, a ticket machine. The applications are endless.
Exactly. You know, I don't even necessarily love the word kiosk because it could be, it's any closed device. So the obvious one that maybe some of your listeners are thinking about right now is McDonald's, right? So we're in every single European McDonald's is going to have this screen reader software on it. So if you want to see it in person, most likely go to a McDonald's right now and bring your headphones and go use it. But it can be in a hospital for a check-in. It could be at an airport. It could be an informational kiosk at a library. It could be any closed device anywhere.
All right, let's get on with the demo then, without any further ado.
So in here, what we can do is, it's a mock-up of Starbucks. So we have brewed coffee, and I can use the right arrow key.
Cup Americano, $2.19. And add to your cart.
Okay, so in front of me, so I've got a keypad, and then to the bottom right-hand corner of that, there's a headphone jack. And so for the purpose of the demonstration, obviously you're hearing it through a speaker. But if you were using this yourself, you would bring your wired headphones, you'd plug in a standard 3.5mm mini jack into that socket there. And then there are some buttons, some arrows. So, sorry, I'm taking over here, Logan.
Totally fine. So just use the right arrow keys to tab through the menu.
Okay. So I've got a kind of like a diamond sort of configuration with a circular button in the middle. So I'm going to press the right arrow.
Caffè latte $2.99. Press the middle button to select additional options and add to your cart.
Okay, that's the latte.
Caffè mocha $3.99. Press the middle button to select additional options and add to your cart. Cappuccino $2.99. Hot chai tea latte $3.49. Press the middle button to select additional options. Iced chai tea latte, caramel macchiato, matcha frappics, strawberries and latte frappics and mocha frappics and fountain drink zero, Coke $1.99. Press the middle button to select additional options and add to your cart.
Let's get a Coke. $1.99. All right, so I press the middle button.
You have selected Coke. The cost is $1.99. Description, Coke. Press the down key to add to your cart.
Let's do that.
Press the middle button to add to order. Coke $1.99. Press the middle button to select additional options and add to your cart. Your cart has two items for a total of $5.89. Press the down arrow to move to the submit button or the right arrow to review the items in your cart.
Ooh, somebody else has got something in the cart here by the sounds of it. I think somebody else maybe before me.
Yes.
Let's see what else is in the cart then. So we go to the right.
Coke Zero, $1.99. Press the middle button. Diet Coke, $1.99. Press the middle button to select additional options and add to your cart. You have selected Diet Coke. The cost is $1.99. Description, Diet Coke. Press the down key to add to your cart.
All right, so what are we doing now, Logan?
So right now we're adding, you selected a Diet Coke, so we're adding a Diet Coke.
Yeah.
So I would use the down arrow button to add to your cart if you want to add this Diet Coke.
Yeah.
So
let's do that.
Press the middle button to add to order.
Okay. So what's the difference between adding to your cart and adding to your order? I don't.
It's the same thing. So we can make it say add to cart or add to order or both.
Right.
So in this case, they're saying both, but we can we help you program it so it just says add to cart, add to order. So what all JAWS is doing here is it's saying what this kiosk, so this is Rivalry Tech is making this kiosk, is specifically programming that an actual order would say. So
all right,
we can advise Rivalry Tech to keep the semantics the same.
Okay. Should we try and check out?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so.
No more headings.
So let's press the middle button to add
Diet
to the cart.
Diet Coke, $1.99.
Let's use the
press
up
the middle
arrow
button
key.
Welcome to the hospital cafe and coffee
Let's actually
menu.
Use the down
you
button.
You are viewing,
sorry.
Your cart has three items. Submit order, press the middle button. You are now on the customer information page. Please enter a name for the order so we can let you know it is ready. Press the right arrow to enter the name on the keyboard. You are able to navigate the keyboard using the four directional keys.
Okay.
So this is where you can submit your name and your phone number. So if you're scrolling down is where you could type in your name and then scrolling down your phone number. You'd then press continue as you get through that flow, and then it would prompt you to swipe your card. It, to the right of the Storm device, which is the diamond arrow keys that we described, is your standard card reader device with just like you would see in any store made by Ingenico, and somebody could just tap their card and they'd be good to go.
That keyboard, on-screen keyboard, I mean, is that going to be a little bump in the road? I'm thinking about navigating an on-screen QWERTY keyboard with arrow keys. What's that going to be like?
Sure. I recommend probably not having a on-screen keyboard and having your order flow be different. So that's where we come in as advisors, and your team comes in as advisors of saying, no, not having somebody need to type in their name is not the most accessible way of organizing your orders, and maybe just checking out immediately, assigning them a number, and then they hear the number and they're good to go.
Yeah.
That sounds like a plan.
Again, that's us advising those kiosks. We are not building that software, but we want to help them make sure that it's as easy to get from A to B as possible, no matter what your ability is.
So you're already in quite a number of locations in the United States.
Yeah, we are truly, I think in the United States, we are in, again, I mentioned McDonald's, but a bunch of Stripe devices have JAWS for kiosks that are able to be installed on those devices, as well as all Toast restaurants and their new kiosk 2.0. So you'll be able to see it truly all over the place. It's almost very hard for us to tell how many kiosks will have our software. We actually started this with the California prisons. So again, kiosk could mean really anything.
And how are you compelling businesses to really embrace this technology? You know, for a big organization like a McDonald's, for example, where they've got thousands of stores, you know, to get them on board is quite tough. Well, you know, we're a low incidence disability on it. It's like 1 in 30 of the population has some kind of sight loss.
I think there's some obvious reasons. One, you know, a customer complaint, avoiding a lawsuit is the obvious ones. But I think that if you really think of you can make an easy flow for somebody to come in and order and it be accessible and usable, and you know how to use this device and order and it's easy, they're going to keep coming back. So really, a bunch of these organizations should be thinking about it, of it improving their bottom line, not just avoiding or needing to do it because somebody told them to do it. It's actually going to help increase revenue by meeting people where they're at, ability-wise.
What I didn't say when I was describing the sort of the physical layout is that above the keypad, we've got the screen of the kiosk where sighted people would order. So, could, you know, if I was with my son now, for example, could he also interact with the screen, you know, while I'm using it as well? Or how is it, like, the experience is designed such that only the blind person would use it, and then when you come away and you unplug your headphones, then, like you say, nobody would know it talked? Or are you able to have it so that if you had like a family, if you're both there going, well, I'm going to have that burger, and, you know.
Yeah, so not only, you don't just have to use the keypad, you can also swipe on the screen too. So you don't even really need the Storm device, you just need something that has a headphone jack. So I can swipe on the screen left and right, up, down, and double tap to click in the same way that Storm device would, so that anybody can use this device and you're not limited to just this piece of hardware. It could be anybody, and you could do it at the same exact time too.
All right. Well, Logan, did we get it all? Is there anything else you wanted to add?
I think we touched it all. I think, again, in summary, JAWS for kiosks makes your kiosk talk.
Fantastic. Well, hopefully we're going to see a lot more of it in the coming years across the UK. Thank you so much, Logan, for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Div.
If you have a technology question, why not ask the Tech Talk team? Email now, techtalk@rnib.org.uk, or tweet at RNIB Radio using the hashtag AskTechTalk.
And now we return to California and our very own Dave Williams as he hears more about the latest in accessible technology.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio from the 2024 CSUN Conference on Technology and Disability. And as I'm sure you're aware by now, this week, RNIB, in partnership with ARX Vision, have launched ARX AI. And Charles Leclerc, who is CEO of ARX AI, is with us now. Hello.
Hi, Dave.
How you doing? Tell everybody, this is an exciting step in wearable technology that we unveiled to the world on Tuesday. So just explain for listeners who are not familiar with ARX Vision and ARX AI, what is it you do?
That sounds good. Thank you, Dave. So first, it's a real pleasure to be here alongside the RNIB. But today at CSUN, at our booth, we are also with Microsoft Seeing AI and with NaviLens. And the reason for this is that Aux AI has built a new headset called the Aux AI Gen 1.5. And what this headset does is that when you connect it to an Android smartphone, it basically becomes the interface and the eyes of the smartphone. So what you can do is connect the headset to the smartphone, launch the Seeing AI app, put the smartphone in your pocket, wear the headset, and you can then benefit from all the cutting-edge generative AI in your ear without having to use your hands.
So you're tackling the problem that I and many other blind and partially sighted people face when we want to use one of these apps like Seeing AI or NaviLens on our smartphone. We have to have the phone in our hand, and of course our other hand is usually occupied with a cane or a guide dog, and that can make holding the object that you want to scan or get more information about really challenging.
That's correct. That's the main reason why we built this product. We are aware that there are lots of super interesting apps like Google Lookout, Oko, Microsoft Seeing AI out there, but they are very powerful and helpful, but they still require the user to be holding a smartphone in front of them, and there are a lot of accidents that result in holding your smartphone in front of you when you're in a train station or in the streets, and so we wanted to make a product that would make all these apps more integrated and seamless into people's lives.
What can you tell us about the sort of research behind the product? I know that biomechanics can be a real issue for juggling the phone and the whatever else you might need to hold and the thing you're scanning.
Yes, that's right. So we've done some background research in terms of biomechanical studies, and what we found is that when you actually use a smartphone, you increase your cognitive load. And so, if your cognitive load is busy analyzing your smartphone, then you have less capacity to manage a fall or avoiding an obstacle. And so that results in a lot of accidents.
Just physically describe Aux AI. What does the camera feel like, and what is the form factor?
So the Aux AI headset is shaped like an arc. And it doesn't cover your face. It resembles the Aftershock's bone conduction headset.
So it goes around the back of your head.
Exactly. Yeah. So you have two rubber pads that sit in front of your ears, and then the headset goes around the back of your head. And on the right side, there is the 8-megapixel camera, plus three tactile buttons, square, circle, and triangle, that are here to allow you to interact with the app and pass voice commands and so on.
Right, so you've got essentially bone conduction headphones, so they sit in front of your ears, so keep your ears free to hear the people and the environment around you. And then you've got this, the camera's from Sony, so we know it's a really good quality camera. That sits just on the right-hand side, and then you can angle that up and down. And then you connect that, you have a USB-C cable, and that plugs into an Android smartphone at this point. We'll talk about the platforms in a second. And that means you can use the Aux AI app, Seeing AI, and NaviLens from the get-go.
That's exactly it. You're explaining it way better than I do, Dave.
So let's talk about some of those other platforms then, because obviously there are many blind people who are using iPhone, and that's going to be a question.
Yes. So we are seeing obviously a lot of our potential customers, but also existing customers who really like to be on iOS and on an iPhone. Some of them are comfortable with getting a second device, an Android device, to use the Aux AI. But obviously, being present on iOS is on our roadmap, and we are actively working to make it happen. And we hope to have some news about this later this year.
Right. And another question that we've had is about having a wired connection. And there are a number of benefits to that.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you asked. So having a cable makes it really easy to connect the headset. There's no Bluetooth or Wi-Fi pairing. You just plug it in and it works, and you plug it out and it is disconnected. The other advantage is that the headset is powered by the smartphone, so you don't have a lithium battery harnessed to your head. And you don't have to worry about charging the headset. It's all one phone to charge. The third advantage is that we get extremely high quality images at an extremely high speed. It's 400 times faster than with Bluetooth. And finally, it means that the headset is really leveraging the power that's already in the smartphone. And when you upgrade your smartphone, you don't need to get a new headset. The headset grows with the ecosystem.
Let's talk about pricing then, because typically these solutions can be very expensive. You know, unemployment is very high in the blind community, and you know, funds are tight, and sometimes the products that we could benefit from are just out of our reach if we haven't got access to significant funding. So can you just let us know what the pricing is?
Absolutely, and you know, the pricing issue has always been one of our motivation. And of course, this category of product, they use cutting-edge technology. They're expensive to design and develop. But we were always targeting to be under $1,000 and under £1,000 price tag. And we're very pleased to announce that Arx AI is today retailing at £799. And until the 31st of May, there will be an early bird discount of £200. So anyone can get Arx AI for £599 in the UK and $599 in the US.
Brilliant. Okay. And the Arx AI headset is available from RNIB online Products for Life store and over the phone in all the usual ways. But if people want to get a bit more information, learn more about the company, and maybe get a bit more detail on the product, how do we get hold of you, Charles?
So you can get more information on arx.vision, arx.vision. And I recommend anyone who would like to learn more to register to our newsletter. And there's a contact form, so we're very happy to engage with the community, answer questions, and we're very happy to hear in general from the blind community as well as our users to know about what people would like to see coming up in our app, and that really influences the way we develop our product. And that's also why we are very pleased to be partnering with the RNIB, because we get tremendous insight from the RNIB user research team.
Thank you so much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio from the 2024 CSUN conference, and I have found Sony and Melanie Mincham, I hope I've got that right, is a usability researcher, and you're going to give us a little bit of a tour of the accessibility features available from Sony.
Hi there. So specifically with the Sony Bravia, the newest version of our TVs, we've got lots of accessibility features for both visually impaired and hearing impaired people. So I'll start off with some of the ones that would help someone who has low vision or blindness. So one of the big things that is new to us is that now, from the moment that someone opens their box for the TV, they can set up the TV by themselves using TalkBack, which is Google's version of the screen reader. So that's a really big deal. We also have text magnification available on the TV, as well as color inversion and grayscale. So that means users can change the colors as they need and influence the contrast to be able to see the details of the actual content of the TV better. And for the hearing impairment portion, we have something called Voice Zoom, where when you turn on the feature, it actually will isolate the dialogue a little bit from the background noise, so it helps people to hear the dialogue better. And also something called volume reset, which essentially allows you to set the volume to your favorite volume level, and every time you turn off the TV, turn it back on, it will always be on that volume. So for a visually impaired user, that's beneficial, because then if you have TalkBack on, you will always be able to hear the TalkBack when you first turn on the TV, right? Because if the volume's too low, maybe a family member turned it all the way down, you won't hear the TalkBack when you first turn it on. Mm. Or if you have a family member who listens to the TV really loud, you can always make sure that, you know, it won't be too loud when you first turn on the TV.
Sure. Can you talk a little bit about the setup experience? Because obviously, yes, now with smart TVs, you know, the first thing you have to do now is kind of connect to the internet and get on your Wi-Fi, you know, to make all those streaming services work. How is that experience for somebody who is blind with a Sony Bravia TV?
Yeah, so we really think about every step of the way, like the packaging, the access to the information guide and things like that. So when you first unbox your TV, you will come across an instruction manual, which is, you can actually feel it because we have, in our newest products, we're going to have a tactile QR code. So what we've done is we've put essentially a tactile frame around the QR code. So right away, when you touch the packaging, at least you can tell, oh, there's something there. Because that's half of the battle, right? Is knowing where the important information is.
Right. So just for listeners, I will try and describe this. So there's a square, I would say it's probably, I'd say about an inch, the square?
Yeah.
Yeah, so about 2.5 centimeters square. And there is a raised line around the circumference of the square, around the edge of the square. And then in the middle of each side, there's a tiny gap. So it's quite distinctive. And then I also notice outside of the square, so presumably the QR code that I would need to scan is inside that square. So I know where to point my smartphone. And then I can feel outside of the square, there's a dotted line.
Yes. So if you were encountering this on a package, the dotted line is meant to kind of lead you to that tactile QR code,
Okay.
or the raised QR outline.
So this is really clear. I mean, I guess it's a couple of mils high or something, but it's definitely perceivable. I mean, anybody who's got, you know, obviously if you've got neuropathy in your fingers or something, you're not going to feel it. But if you're used to, you know, reading Braille and you know, you've got reasonable fine motor skills, you're going to very easily pick up this square and know where it is. This is going to be introduced when and on which products?
So we're going to start it off on a few products to start with in the next couple of months. I don't have an exact timeline, but it's coming very soon.
Yeah.
And again, all of this came actually directly from research we've done with visually impaired users. So they're the ones who informed us on what felt the best, what would be the most helpful, where to place it. Also the actual contrast of the piece of cardboard. It's white writing on black background.
Yeah.
So for people with a little bit more sight, it's really easy to distinguish that as well.
Excellent. And so when you said where will we find it? Roughly where will it be? Inside the box, outside the box?
So right now it depends on the product. That's something we're looking to try to standardize within our own products. But right now, currently, if I give the soundboard as an example, when you open the box, there's usually a card there with the QR code. So it's the first thing that you would pull out of the box. And so if you felt this, you know, raised outline, right away you would know, okay, that's important.
And then where's that QR code going to take me then? So a QR code is essentially a link, isn't it? It takes you somewhere. And of course, the thing with QR codes, I find, is that the experience is going to vary quite a bit depending on what happens when you land on the, you know, on the page. So where does that take us, and how do we know if that's going to be an accessible experience?
Yes, and I love this question because it's so true that sometimes the QR code can be really accessible and then you get to the page and you can't get through it with your screen reader, right?
Melanie, tell me about it, right? And I mean, in the UK during COVID, you know, every restaurant in the land, you know, had these things on the table. You would scan it with your phone and suddenly you'd find yourself on some horrible, you know, web page. I'm sure that's not going to happen here. Tell me.
No, we're definitely paying attention to that. It would take you to a Sony page with the initial setup steps, like the quick setup guide, essentially. And sometimes it will prompt you to download an app to be able to control your devices right from your phone using your own technology that you're used to using, like if you use Siri or something like that, or VoiceOver that you're used to. So really, this is a way to just communicate all of that information and help you find the information you need to. And I actually have something else I wanted to talk about, which is related to being able to find things with, you know, the tactile input. Mm-hmm. And that is, maybe I can tell you a bit about a separate problem that we've encountered with our users, which is that when they go to connect their TV, either, you know, the power source or the HDMI cable, you know, connecting a TV to a soundbar, stuff like that, how hard is it to find the actual ports that you're looking for, right? Like the HDMI port. You have a general idea of where it might be around the TV in the back or the side.
Well, you know, I always try and put it in the wrong way around as well. You know, I do love USB-C, you know.
Yes. Same. That makes it easier for everyone, right? So something that we've done after talking with users is we're implementing some raised dots next to the HDMI ARC port. and next to another port as well that is of importance for our soundbar connection.
Right, so just to clarify that for people, so ARC is audio return channel,
yes.
And that's the port that you need to use when you're plugging in your soundbar to your TV to make sure that the TV audio goes back through the soundbar.
Exactly.
Right.
And I can actually have you feel it.
Because we're used to, as blind people, you know, we're always just plugging things in and out until it works, right? So no more guessing, hopefully. All right, so, okay, so three little dots right next to the HDMI port, and that's going to be the flat side of the HDMI socket. And then we've got some other HDMI ports. Oh, and then the three dots, oh, is that two dots, actually, next to a circular? What's the circular port?
That's another audio output port for the soundbar.
Like a digital audio or something like
yes.
that? Yeah,
yeah,
okay, yeah. All
so,
right.
In theory, once you have, you know, access to that instruction manual, it'll tell you, look for the, you know, the HDMI part with the
two dots or three dots. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that way you know what you're looking for, what to feel for on the back of the TV or wherever it might be. In our case, it's on the side of the TV.
Yes. Yeah, okay. All right. So that is that going to be, I mean, you might not be able to answer this, but do you know when that's...
So similarly to our raised... QR border. It's coming very soon. Yeah. I can't answer exactly, you know, okay. when it'll be on our products, but it's...
Watch this space.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on us. We are actively doing research with people who have different, you know, levels of abilities, as I should say, and so we're always looking to get your feedback to improve our products and make them easier to use.
Just tell me a little bit, if you would,
yeah.
about some of the input blind and partially sighted people are having in this process. You guys have a lab, I believe, in San Diego.
Yes. I should say our lab specifically in San Diego, we do bring people in to try our products there, but we also do home visits. So we go into people's homes, we typically have them try out a TV or other devices and give us feedback right from their living room where they would be using the devices in their conditions with the lighting that they like, that kind of thing. So we do both, you know, in-person and virtual testing with people who have various amounts of vision.
Excellent. Well, that's wonderful. Is there an accessibility page? Is there a place where listeners can go to learn more about Sony's accessibility efforts?
So it's tinyurl. So tiny is tinyurl.com/Sony Accessibility. Pretty easy.
tinyurl.com/Sony Accessibility.
And if anyone's interested in volunteering with us to give us feedback, that's a way to reach us as well. So we always make sure to give gift cards for participation and transportation, and we really want to hear from the actual users.
Yeah, those I mean, gift cards and you know, remunerating people for their time and their expertise and their effort is so important.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times I hear in the community, you know, blind people being asked to test things and getting, you know, very little in return, you know,
exactly.
particularly when it's a big corporation,
mm-hmm.
it feels only right that people should be fairly compensated for their time and effort.
Completely agree, because it's so valuable to us and, it, you know, people are taking time out of their days, so.
Melanie Mincham, researcher with Sony, thank you so much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and I'm with Jeff Mills, who is co-CEO at Gracklebox. Jeff, just tell us and listeners a little bit about your role in your organization and what you do.
Well, it's really easy. I do as little as possible. But really what happens, we're a company that does software and services for accessibility, as you'd expect. And we made our name a way back in making sure that all of Google's output from Workspace was made accessible. So if you make a doc, a sheet, or a slide, we gave you an opportunity to actually remediate that document before it went out the door. So millions of people creating billions of documents. Since then, we've actually purchased more companies and we do other services. So we do web auditing, we have members that run W3C. We have new software we're just bringing out this week, which is a PDF editor for accessibility. And so our day-to-day really is working normally with blue chip companies, but we have some smaller ones as well. To help them get anything out the door and make their documents accessible.
And what's brought you to this conference this year?
Well, what we wanted to do this year is make the splash of, we've just grown the company by purchasing this secondary company, so we've grown in size considerably. So we wanted to make sure that everyone knew about that. And then also we're doing a soft launch of these new products, And this is kind of the place to come and do that.
Right, so tell us about those new products then.
So yeah, the big one is we're calling it the Grackle PDF Editor, after our name, Grackle Docs. And really that is a way of making any PDF accessible through an editor. A bit like other companies have tried to do, but we've actually got some special sauce in there because we have a large group of manual PDF remediated people that do this, and we've built this over the last year to make them faster, quicker, smarter. And we've got a year's worth of testing in there, and we know that it works really well. And we've seen other products that promise to do that, and they haven't got there. So that's the big one we've got there. We've also got another secondary product, which is an add-on to something we've been doing for a long time, which is where we scan people's websites for PDFs that sit behind the website, and we give them a rating score on all those PDFs of how accessible they are. And then what we do is we rescan every month so they can get a progression chart of how well they're doing on remediating documents. Well, the add-on that we're bringing in this week is specifically for WordPress, so the largest CMS in the world. It will actually sit within that CMS and do the same thing.
That's right. So WordPress is the technology that powers many websites. So when you go onto the web, the chances are, if you visit a couple of websites, at least one or two of them will be powered by WordPress in the back end. So yeah. Add-in there is going to help.
Absolutely, and it's actually they really are the gargantuan in that space. There's something like 60% of all content management systems in the world are WordPress. So it's really, really big.
Huge, huge. Yeah. And you've got some colleagues here with you as well?
I do. So I have Paul Walker is my co-CEO of the company. We started this company together back in 2016. He does even less than I do, so that's pretty good. But we have a real worker here, Jason Collin, who's our premier sales guy. So we brought him along, and unless he signs a deal, he's not allowed to go home.
Fantastic. Right. Okay. And just talk a little bit about your customers. You're selling into enterprise, presumably. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have a very wide range of customers, but actually we're in the lobby of one of our customers. We do a lot of work for Marriott Hotels worldwide, the same with Hilton Hotels worldwide. We work with Air Canada, Sun Life, Manulife. We have quite a wide range of large customers, but we also have some customers that are very small that just need a document remediated.
Well, I really appreciate the work that you guys are doing, because I know as a blind person, there are many blind people out there that when they hear they're getting a PDF, it strikes fear into our hearts, right?
Of course. We're trying to lessen that pain.
Thank you so much. We do appreciate it, and have a wonderful conference. Just give us your website so people can learn more about your products and connect with you.
Yeah. Please come and visit us at grackledocs.com. It's GRACKLEDOCS.com.
GrackleDocs.com. Thank you so much. You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio from the California State University of Northridge Conference on Technology and Disability 2024.
Well, would you look who it is? All the way from California, Dave Williams.
Hello.
How have you found CSUN then? What's the experience been like?
Absolutely incredible. I mean, just unbelievable. Of course, the highlight, you know, was recording the interview with Stevie Wonder, getting him talking about technology and accessibility and Braille and music. That was completely unexpected. It happened at very short notice, and the team here managed to steer me in front of him. And I said, is it okay if we record, would you like to share some words about accessibility for blind and partially sighted people in the UK? And he said, absolutely. Yeah, sure, let's do it.
Well, let's take a listen to that conversation with Stevie Wonder.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is RNIB Connect Radio. See if you recognize this voice.
So, I can only say, hello, mate. No, I can only say it's wonderful to be here and to see you and to speak with all of you in Great Britain, and to just say that we have to press forward with making sure that everywhere in the world is accessible to every person, every blind person or any person with a disability. Because in actuality, when people understand that not only will it make us more independent, but it's going to allow you to have the taxes be less. Woo.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, but it's just great, though.
Yeah.
To be able to do things, it's like opening up a whole new place where people can really express themselves and get more information from the world.
And when we make things accessible for us blind people, you know, we make it better for everybody, right?
Exactly. You know? It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
When we do that, we make the world accessible to us and to everyone. So that's a wonderful thing.
And the work that all the people in this room are doing, you know, to try and make these amazing products so we can be more independent and more confident and more creative and all of those things.
Listen, because of people that were committed to making the various devices more accessible to me and the work that I do, which is my joy and my fun, to have something that I love be my job is such a blessing.
Yeah.
But as well, to be able to have the various devices that I can write the lyric, various lyrics to songs, and then be able to read them, to store them, to go back to make changes in them, and then have them forever. We're hoping to actually have pretty soon an actual Braille library of all the various songs that I've written.
Wow, that would be so wonderful.
Yeah.
That would be so wonderful. We'd love to collaborate with you on that and make that available in the UK.
Yeah, I probably want to actually give some as well, share some of the notes so you actually see it when I'm just working on it and you see how I'm messing up the words or making abbreviations or
that's the good whatever. Stuff though, right? That's the stuff people love, isn't it? You know, when they see you go, okay, I got an idea and this is how you make it better. And you know, a lot of these products go through a similar, you know, process, right? You know, they don't always get it right in the first version, and then they got to make refinements and make it better.
And reading Braille really is important. I mean, we can listen and hear things being said, but to be able to have the privacy of only your fingers and your mind being able to know what's going on is a good thing.
You're speaking to my heart.
I mean,
I love Braille, and every day I use it. So important, you know. It's you connect with the content in a way that is very personal. You know?
Believe it.
Yeah.
Because your mind can process what you read, and then you're going to process it in your mind as to how you see it and visualize the story that you're reading or the information.
Would you say like you would have had the career that you had without Braille?
Honestly, I would not have had the career that I'm enjoying were it not for me being able to use Braille to express those words that I wanted to say and be able to read them and then sing them.
I loved when you gave the Grammy to Ed Sheeran and you had the the dedication in the envelope in Braille and you kind of waved it at the audience and you said, I can read this. Exactly. I can read this. You guys can't.
Yeah, exactly. I had told him about a year or so, I mean a few months, a year before, when I heard this song, I said, this is going to be a song of the year. His own, some say that. But he's a great writer.
He's all right, isn't he? Yeah, he's not too bad. A boy from Suffolk, I think, in England. Yeah,
right.
He's done pretty well.
We'll probably do some stuff together. He's a good man.
Oh, well, I can't wait to hear that. That would be fantastic. And we'll get it on the radio as well, yeah.
You better get it.
Yeah, we will.
Give you a couple of dollars under the table, a couple of pounds. I'll get you some pounds at the table, right?
All right, mate.
Get me going, right? Thank you. Good
fantastic.
To meet you.
And you, sir. Let me shake you by the hand properly. Hang on. Wonderful.
God bless you.
Thank you so much. Take care. Stevie Wonder right here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hang on. Sorry. Just before we move on, just to like unpack and, you know, just to confirm this. You say you're going out there for work. You know, this is not a holiday. You know, you're there for Connect Radio. You're not there to, you know, go out and enjoy yourself. Next thing, you're hanging out with Stevie Wonder.
You know, it was such a privilege. It really was, you know, because obviously we're here to connect with other organizations around the world, other blindness organizations. We've spent time with, you know, CNIB, Vision Australia, all those guys, right? And also we're working with big tech, you know, people like Microsoft and Sony and Google. I absolutely such a privilege, such a highlight. And, you know, the incredible thing I think about Stevie Wonder is the fact that he, you know, unlike many people, I think sometimes us as blind people feel that the way to get on in our career is to almost like step away a little bit from other blind people. And there's definitely something to be said for that. But, you know, the thing, the message, I think, from Stevie Wonder was that he wanted to use his status, his standing, his notoriety to really shine a light on accessibility and make accessibility front and center. He recognizes that when we make things accessible for blind people, make them better for everybody, that also we have so much to contribute and to give and to offer. And he was very keen to be a part of it. And he comes to this conference every year. So it really wasn't a surprise that he was here. What was extraordinary is the fact that he was willing to spend so much time with us here at RNIB and to allow us to record him and share his words.
Yeah, no, I couldn't resist, you know, poking a bit of fun at you, but no, in all seriousness, it was a fantastic conversation and great to see like someone like him, you know, there, as you said. It sounds like there was a lot there, a lot going on, and, you know, there's more to come as well.
Yeah, definitely. Big technology companies are recognising that accessibility and inclusion is not just a kind of nice to have anymore. You know, it's essential. They have to be thinking about this. You know, the US is known as, you know, quite a litigious culture. You know, there are organizations in the US that will take big companies to court if they're not accessible, right? And they will sue. And so, you know, there's the legal imperative, of course, there's a commercial opportunity. You'll sell more products, you'll be more widely recommended if you're considering accessibility and inclusion. And of course, as we all know, it's just the right thing to do, right? So with Sony, they're putting tactile markings on their devices. They're putting tactile markings around QR codes where you scan if you want to set up a soundbar, for example. And other companies are really sitting up and taking note. You know, there are lots of other highlights as well. So I think we're going to be hearing about this conference for a couple of weeks here on Tech Talk.
Yeah, very interesting stuff. And well, thanks so much for all your contributions. It's been an amazing show this week. And as we said, you know, there's definitely more to come, more next week and more across Connect Radio as well, I'm sure.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate all the work that you do and the wider Connect Radio team and the RNIB staff here on the ground who made a lot of these interviews and conversations possible.
Well, that's all we've got time for this week. Join us again next week. I'm not sure if Stevie Wonder will make it back as a co-presenter, but we'll see. But coming up next week, we have got even more from CSUN, and we'll also be hearing about some of the latest tech to make your travel run a little bit more smoothly. If you've got any thoughts or comments on all the things we've covered today from CSUN, or just any other technology questions, comments, feedback, you're more than welcome to get in touch with us, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. But from myself, Callum Stoneman, Dave Williams and Hubert Pavalkovich, thanks for listening and catch you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.